The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yeah, David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions is with us on the line for the Heat Doctor. And people will be wondering, why are we talking to a Heat Doctor in this weather, David? But listen, ventilation really comes into its own this time of the year in your house, doesn't it?
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, listeners. That's for sure. Yeah, I don't think we had the time this week, Jerry, to change the advert, did we? With the cooling doctor. Unfortunately, I suppose. Look, yes, you're correct. 100%. I suppose in the current weather, in the extremes that we're having, you know, I mean, you and I could talk about climate action and climate warnings for the next 2 hours and etc. and further. But I suppose, look, what is important here is ventilation. I think I've said it so many times with people with installing mechanical ventilation. It is a fantastic system. It's brilliant. It definitely enhances the quality of your home. But I guess key here is windows and doors still need to be opened. You know, we still need to get fresh air coming into our houses. I was actually just reading a study there this morning on the benefits of insulation. And this, I suppose, Jerry, to say why you are talking to the Heat Doctor, is insulating your home can help towards the cooling effects with the internal of your home. Now, that's not, I suppose, that's not with all types of insulation. But for example, with cavity and external insulation, this does have a cooling and it's a proved cooling effect on the inside of the house. And I suppose it makes sense, Jerry, if you're keeping the cold out in the wintertime to try and keep the house warm and keep the heat retained within the house. It's equally beneficial in the summertime when we have these extremes of heat, that if you have a cooler interior to your house from shading or from, you know, glazing that's situated correctly, then, you know, the houses do stay cool. And that's the benefit of the insulation, I suppose.
Yeah, it's about like, I was watching a program during the week talking about, you know, millionaires buying houses out in some foreign country. I think it was they were in Ibiza, and they were talking about having walls that were 3 or 4 feet thick, which they said, look, it was an old house, 200 or 300 years old. This keeps your house warm in the winter and cool in the summer. That's an example. Well, like, going back that far, they were thinking about that sort of mechanics.
It's a proven concept, Jerry, over the years. And I mean, this is not a new concept. This goes back to generations before us and hundreds of years before us, I suppose. There was a purpose for the old stone house in Ireland, for example. I mean, the old stone house could have been up to 3 foot in thickness. And I suppose the reality of that was what you just said. It kept it cool, it kept it warm. But I suppose what we're trying to eliminate here is moisture levels and, I suppose, dampness and things like that. And that's what we're facing with extremes of weather here in Ireland at the moment, Jerry. You know, the extremes of weather can lead to, and I suppose we saw that in the wintertime with dampness and things of that in houses and mold and everything else of that. These are health concerns that we don't want to have in the current climate, and there's things out there which eradicate this. And I suppose this is all playing into the hands of companies with retrofitting homes. And I suppose that's what's key. We retrofit our homes, we do all the right things, the science is there to prove that the outcome is going to be beneficial for both your health and the living in your house, the energy reduction, the carbon reduction. I mean, you know, all of this is relevant to the current climate. I mean, look out the window, Jerry, the sun is shining, absolutely fantastic, everyone's humour is good. But I suppose if this continues for a month's time, and I mean, listening to you earlier about water shortages and things like that, you know, this is all relevant, Jerry, and it's stuff that we need to concern ourselves. It's all connected. It's a circle that we all have to, I suppose, wake up to. And I mean, I'm not preaching and I'm not the end all of this, and I mean, I suppose every government person has their own view on it, but I suppose it's common sense, Jerry. And I keep saying that to homeowners when we go to their houses. Oh, I was told put a heat pump in, I was told it's going to be fantastic. I mean, you know, how much are you paying for electricity? How much is your house costing to run? What's your insulation type? What's the ventilation requirements in your house? There's so many different questions that have to be asked and answered before I get to a homeowner and say, yes, we can install a heat pump for you, and this is the cost and this is the grants available. So, you know, it's all relevant, Jerry. As I said, I could go off on a rant all morning, but I suppose that's not practical.
Speaking of the sunshine and the heat at the moment, and how the cost of electricity and all of that, we have a couple of queries that I don't think we got to last time. One listener asked on solar panels, and a lot of people will be watching the solar panels and will be, I suppose, will be breaking records for the amount of energy they're generating for them in this sort of weather. A listener says, I have solar panels that work from sun only. Would it be a big job to get them changed to work from daylight and not just sun? I didn't know. I thought they worked for both, but obviously not.
Yeah, I suppose this would be an older type panel that this homeowner would have installed, and I suppose the direct answer is yes, they can be changed. Now, I suppose unfortunately there may be different requirements on that roof to change different brackets, etc., which have associated costs for that homeowner. But I suppose to make an example, and sure, you did say that in the current climate, looking out that, you know, there's high generation of electricity. I mean, I just logged into my own system here this morning, for example. I mean, it's a 6 kilowatt system on a house, and I suppose, look, to give some facts and figures on it, it just gives people information as to where things are going. But in the last month, it's generated 850 kilowatt hours. The house has consumed 741 kilowatt hours, so 63% of what was generated helped towards the running of the house. Now, this is not a 7,000 square foot mansion, Jerry. I can guarantee you that anyone can see my house. But I suppose what the reality here is, and it's quite I suppose obvious, is that they do their job. Solar panels do the job that they're lined up to do. And I get the question all the time then about, oh, what about the winter time? What about when it's you know, raining for 3 months in a row? I suppose that's what leads to that homeowner's question, is it's daylight. It's not sunshine, it's not direct sunlight, it's daylight. So the quality of daylight will help generate your kilowatt hours in your PV system. And I suppose to back that up again, Jerry, there's just a few changes that have come in. Since the 1st of June, it's a max 5 kilowatt inverter in domestic houses. That's an ESB networks regulation due to variable voltages and things like that. I mean, over a 4 kilowatt system gets you €2,400 of a grant. There's no battery grant available anymore. But I suppose since the 1st of May, and we've talked about it, Jerry, it's 0% VAT on the install of a PV, PV system.
So what do you mean by no battery grant? Is that would that be, let's say, a house battery you have for storage on the side of your house?
Yeah, so built into some of the solar systems, people use batteries, and I suppose the battery is there, and it's specific to the design in its requirements. So I suppose, you know, for example, I mean, okay, to start off, Jerry, there's an associated cost with installing a battery, of course, but there was a grant towards that in the SEI in previous years. There's not anymore, I suppose. That's why the VAT has been eradicated and the 2,400 for an over 4 kilowatt system. But I suppose, that's a max 2,400. But yeah. I suppose, look, yeah, a battery lined in with a solar system just gives you, I suppose, that little bit of more security for your usage of the stored electricity from the solar system. So again, it's a more efficient way, and I suppose, you know, my son James from Bilgini had a long conversation about this morning, and it's all again relevant in the circle of things. But I suppose it was on to do with what tariff and what type of meter and what you're paying for electricity units. So if you have a battery and at peak times you're using the battery power that you stored, then your peak usage is less, therefore your running of your house is less, the environmental impact is better. So I suppose that's what I'm saying about a battery tied into a solar system. It goes with cost, and it goes with design, it goes with usage. So for example, we have another system in a house with a heat pump, Jerry, and I suppose in the winter months it wouldn't make sense for a battery, because the heat pump usage is going to take all the electricity that it can take from the house, and I suppose equally in the summertime for hot water. So in those houses you could put in what we call a diverter, a priority unit, which could go to the car charger or could go to the hot water.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's what we're trying to do in the development of these systems, is that you're maximizing the kilowatt usage that you're generating from
for yourself. Yeah. And does that then, there's things called power walls by Tesla. There are, you know, does every battery come with the solar panel pack, or there are standalone batteries that can plug into different things in your house?
I suppose for an existing system, it's sometimes hard to add in, and I suppose that homeowner's question is relevant to that as well, to add in if that system is so old it's hard to change any of the elements in that. But I suppose, yes, when designing a system and the product that's used, there is specific type batteries, specific type inverters that can be used with that, which are interchangeable. And I suppose that's where the future is leading, that you can add more batteries in, you can, I suppose, add more panels in. But I suppose, look, it's design, it's cost, it's location, it's orientation, Jerry, which is important, I suppose, the orientation of the system to make sure you're maximizing the daylight to get the maximum system, yeah, or the maximum kilowatts into the system. But I suppose, and again, relevant, and I suppose James and me were talking about that this morning, I mean, it's quite, I suppose, important to have a look at your tariffs and have a look what your overgeneration is giving you in rebates back from your supply company. So on my system, for example, this morning, in the last bill, I've had a recovery of €65 in a rebate for overgeneration of, and this was before the sunshine, I suppose, Jerry, as well, just to make that clear.
Yeah.
But I suppose, look, it's it's important to tie the whole lot in together. And I suppose, look, yeah, myself and James were talking about the Bill Genie. He's got a fantastic video up there that he can send to homeowners. It's just bloody, it's brilliant. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me, because I can see where the result is for any homeowners that are asking me the question of how much am I going to pay in electricity, how much am I going to save. It's something that we don't want to take care of, but I'd recommend that they talk to him, I suppose. But look, if you're considering a solar system for your house, design is key. Maximum kilowattage under daylight conditions, no shading. Is a battery something for you? Are you considering an EV, electric vehicle in the future? It's something that they're pushing, Jerry, 940,000 vehicles in the next 7 years. I mean, reading the Independent this morning about the missed targets, and this is 2030. We're in 2023 and they're predicting we're missing the targets in 2030. You know, it's all relevant. It's all relevant.
Okay, we have more questions to get to, more queries coming in. We'll get to those and more with David after we take these.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yeah, we're talking with David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions. And David, a listener says they want to close up a chimney. What are the methods she could use to block it up? Someone suggested putting bags up there, but she's worried about doing this. I'd say she's right to be worried.
No, 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 and no again, Jerry, stop. No, putting bags up there is not a solution to blocking a chimney. There is correct products that can be used. You can get them in Boyles of Killorglan, and I suppose there's a correct way of doing it, both permanently and temporarily. But I suppose one of the biggest safety elements here, Jerry, is that blocking the chimney, I suppose it sounds quite simple, but it's a simple thing to do, is almost putting a sign saying the chimney is blocked and not for use. It's all well and good for one person to block a chimney, but if someone else comes into the house at some other stage, we all know, we all think this will never happen, but it could happen.
Yeah, and I suppose it sounds basic. It sounds like that'll never happen, but just to be sure, put a sign there.
I mean, that sounds simple in itself, or, you know, get the group text happening, tell everyone the chimney's blocked. But I suppose, look, to block a chimney permanently, Jerry, there are specific ways of doing it, and there's the 2014-2018 Amendment Building Regulations which state how to do that. And I guess we actually carry that work out as part of some of the energy upgrade works we do with Electric Ireland Superhomes for the one-stop shop works. I suppose any open fires and non-renewable fuel burning sources are elements that we eliminate from houses as much as possible with the design. So I suppose, look, to make an example of a bungalow, you can core into the chimney at attic level, fill the chimney with a product, and block the chimney face in the room that it's in. So when I say block the chimney face, what we do is typically either remove the entire fireplace and block it up and plaster the wall again, or put a permanent solution in the existing fireplace, which again is either a timber or a concrete board effect, which is plastered. This, I suppose, in its own right then makes sure that the chimney cannot be used or the fireplace cannot be used. So again, I'm going to say it, no, no, and no to plastic bags in the chimney.
Okay, all right. A listener wants to know about refilling the liquid in solar panels. Can someone be recommended, or how is it done?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be done. There's a specific pump to do it. James O'Shea Glenbeck, contact him. He's sitting in the sun right now this minute as we speak with Factor 50 on. And I suppose, look, it's important that you use a registered installer to do that. It can happen in the wet solar systems, and it's something that should be done as preventative maintenance, I suppose, annually, or maybe every 18 months it should be checked. But the system will not work if this is not done. So I suppose it has to be done, Jerry.
Okay, a caller has a solid fuel stove which would also heat water in the winter. During the summer months, they turn on the heating oil boiler to heat water, but are wondering if it would be more economical to use an electric shower rather than turning on oil to heat the water for the house.
This is, I think, a two-part weighing scale, Jerry, which tips, I think, on a daily, if not an hourly basis, due to the cost of electricity and the cost of oil. And I suppose the usage of hot water would be relevant in this conversation for that homeowner, so that would need to be specific as to say which is more economical to do. But I suppose selfishly I would suggest that homeowner would use, we'll say for example, an immersion, but tie it in with a solar system and get the benefits of having some free hot water from a system that's generating kilowatts. But again, here, look, today it's impossible to say, Jerry. I think the oil is slightly cheaper than electricity rate. Depends again on usage. If the hot water's being used at different intervals throughout the day, you know, we have to get away from oil. We have to get away from non-renewable heat sources.
Are you using hot water preferred just for showers, or is it for other tasks around the house and all those sort of things?
And I think it goes back to a comment earlier on in the show, Jerry, about, you know, an electric shower being used and or not being used because there was a sufficient flow rate from a homeowner in, I think it was Glenfesk area. And, you know, this is a common problem in in this weather, I mean, with pressures on water, if you have mains fed showers, electric showers, they have a safety element built into them that they will not flow if there's not sufficient flow rate, because obviously the water would get too hot and create burns. So I suppose, you know, the design of a system within a domestic house coming to the newer systems, I'm not saying that you're going to have it perfect, but I suppose when you have the generation of hot water through electric elements or heat pumps, there's a storage of water there that I suppose allows you to have those showers, short period time showers. But if it's a trickle of water that's filling back into the tank, then you know you need to monitor that, but it will ultimately fill the tank back up.
Okay, private house using 50 units of electricity per week, is this high? They want to know.
Wow, 50 units per week, I suppose I'm going to divert that to the Bill Genie, definitely. James will answer that question for you, but I suppose it depends what's being used in the house, occupancy levels, how many people are in the house, and what's being used, I suppose, in peak times and unpeak times. They say a typical house could use up to 12 kilowatt hours per day. I mean, to simulate that to units per week, it's a very average statement. If that homeowner wants to get in contact, if there's something that they're concerned about or if there's something that they think they're overpaying for, it can be easily assessed.
Okay, certainly can. All right, listen, we're out of time, but listen, thanks so much for talking to us and filling us in and all of that, David, and we'll talk to you next month.